This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is 12:04. I'm in the studio today with
Jeff Sandu,
Audrey Raj,
and of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Happy Friday.
She's going to be with us all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon, hopefully like you guys are as well. We are running a poll. We are on Instagram and on Twitter. The question we're asking relates to, of course, the economic stimulus plan that was revealed yesterday. Interim Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad unveiled the economic stimulus plan, which was supposed to be announced by the previous Pakatan Harapan government, but was delayed after the government was abruptly dissolved. In the announcement, he unveiled a slew of measures, including cash aid and incentives to help the country cushion economic uncertainties due to the threat of the COVID-19 virus that has infected more than 82,000 people worldwide and claimed more than 2,800 lives.
Yeah, you know, it's COVID-19 has been like talk of the town since January, since the turn of the year. And, you know, over the last 4 or 5 days, people tend to forget that this is actually hasn't actually settled down at all. It's actually become a lot worse. You know, friends of mine have been sending me photos of when they're in KLIA or KLIA 2, and it is completely empty. And it's very worrying times for the aviation industry, for the tourism sector. So, you know, the economic stimulus package 2020 is sort of our response to the COVID-19 outbreak. And this is a 20 billion ringgit economic stimulus package. And it's anchored on three strategies. The first strategy is actually mitigating the impact of COVID-19. The second strategy is on catalyzing rakyat-centric economic growth. And the third strategy is promoting quality investment. So to go through all of these, we thought, you know, we better get an expert to give us the lowdown of what has happened.
We're going to ask you a question, though, as well. We're asking this question. Does the economic stimulus package restore your buying and spending confidence? Why or why not? Let us know. Twitter or Instagram, and also on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899.
Yeah, and we're asking that because that is one of the main reasons, right? Is to get people to go out and build confidence in them that, you know, now at least, you know, because the talk of the town is you have to save money. But if you save money, then it's difficult for the economic to, you know, the economy to grow.
To get moving.
Yeah, so everything's on hold then, and on hold is not very good. And so one of the ways, if we've seen in different countries, they've measured, you know, they've done things differently, right? So we thought we get on the phone. So we have Poon Yew Ho, the managing partner at Crow Malaysia, and I asked, you know, what were some of the highlights from the announcements made yesterday?
The assistance for the tourism sector, which took the form of personal relief for individuals of 1,000 ringgit, no 6% service tax for hotels for 6 months, and then the government will be using digital vouchers to be given to Malaysians for domestic flights, accommodation and all that. And also the duty-free goods exemption will be increased to 1,000 for people who buy duty-free goods. But as far as support for the non-tourism sector is concerned, there is deferment of tax installments for 6 months and a possibility of revision of tax estimates for all taxpayers in the third month. Also, the EPF be reduced from 7% to 11%, and this is the employee's EPF. The HRDF exemption is also given for 6 months for employers, and then there's a deduction of renovation costs up to 300,000 by companies that incurred it for business purposes.
And how do ours compare to the likes of Singapore and Hong Kong, who've also announced their COVID-19 economic stimulus package?
I think overall, we are looking at spending by the government at about RM20 billion, which is actually not a small figure. Singapore has budgeted about 17 billion, which is smaller than Malaysians, and Hong Kong has a budget spending of RM65 billion, which is about 3 times Malaysia's. I think what's happening is that Singapore and Hong Kong is probably like using a big injection needle, whereas Malaysia is like using some small pills. What I mean by that is that in Singapore and Hong Kong, they have given some quite big cash handouts to individuals. Malaysia's handouts are mainly to taxi drivers, medical personnel, and so forth. So in a way, you can say that Singapore and Hong Kong is actually giving more stimulus on the demand side to stimulate more demand for consumer spending. In Malaysia, we seem to rely more on government spending, GLC spending, as well as loans and things like that. Also in Singapore and Hong Kong, they have given quite substantial corporate tax reductions. But in Malaysia, we do not have corporate tax reductions. Instead, we have some special deductions like renovations up to RM300,000 if the taxpayer were to spend that kind of money. So in a way, Malaysia requires the taxpayer to spend first and then get the tax benefits.
Now, Poon, the focus was mainly on the tourism and aviation sector, but there also seems to be an impact in, you know, the retail segment as well as the large micro SME sectors. What were the announcements made that would help the micro SMEs during this crisis?
Actually, we don't see much help in that sense other than the general ones. Singapore and Hong Kong, they have bigger retail segments, so there's probably more assistance in that area. But as far as Malaysia is concerned, there's some assistance for the retail outlets, maybe in the tourist areas. There is a reduction of electricity costs by 15% for some of these retail sector, government spending and soft loans. Other than that, don't really see much insofar as the retail sector is concerned for Malaysia.
And, you know, that was Poon Yee Ho, the managing partner for Crowe Malaysia. Also, we've got Amarjit Singh from EY ASEAN and Malaysia Tax Leader. Amarjit, thank you so much. What was the overall theme from the recent announcement that would help ease the challenges SMEs are facing?
I think really there are two key areas which the package focused on. So one, elevating the cash flow prices of the SMEs. And two, helping to sustain their income by encouraging local spending. You know, in terms of the cash flow pressures, the measures on revision of tax estimates and also getting the banks to allow restructuring and, you know, rescheduling their loans payments, I think that's going to help them with the managing cash flow. And I think on the other flip side, in terms of encouraging spend, there's quite a fair bit. Notably, the main one, I think, is the reduction of the EPF contribution.
That was Amarjit Singh, the tax leader at EY ASEAN and Malaysia. And of course, you know, we'll continue the discussion with both of them as we go along.
Yeah, I know. But for those on the ground, you know, talking about spending power, because that's our question today, right? You know, does the economic stimulus package restore your buying or spending confidence? Just a quick recap. The Prime Minister announced a one-off payment of 600 ringgit to each taxi driver, tourist bus driver, tourist guide and registered trishaw drivers. For the B40 group, there is a 200 ringgit to be paid to Bantuan Sara Hidup recipients that was actually scheduled for May this year but will be brought forward to March. And an additional 100 ringgit will be paid into their bank accounts in May. And of course, an extra 50 ringgit will also be channeled in the form of e-tunai.
Also, like a lot of people have been asking, like, you know, what about the, like, us, like, just the more common people? You know, the only one that I could really pick out, which I think everyone was kind of like sharing around, is one is you have 1,000 ringgit personal income tax relief of up to 1,000 ringgit on expenditure related to domestic tourism, and the other is, of course, the up to 100 ringgit in digital domestic tourism voucher per person for domestic flights, rails, and hotel accommodations for all Malaysians, and of course, EPF, right? You know, the contribution is by 4% from 11% to 7% now. So, you know, that's effective April 1st. Mm.
So it doesn't really feel like it's something that we can use right now, because that rebate of 1,000 ringgit on domestic tourism spend, that does that mean that we spend it this year and then after that we claim it next year? So it really doesn't feel like you're going to feel
the immediate impact.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it raised a couple of questions for me when I saw some of the stuff coming through. The first question I asked with the 600 ringgit that's been given to taxi drivers, you know, was whether or not this is also to accommodate the people who do e-hailing and stuff like that. Because, of course, that's a huge economy.
And apparently it doesn't.
And apparently it does not, which is very surprising to me. But there you go. We've got to get up into our next talk set in a minute, but we're asking that question. Does the economic stimulus package restore your buying and spending confidence? Why or why not? Just a quick update before we head into the break. The poll results over on Twitter are odds.
Yes. So yes at 28% and no at 72%. 2%.
Over on Insta Story, a very similar result, 75% at no with 25% at yes. We're going to take a break with some music first from Franz Ferdinand with Right Action. When we come back, some of your comments as we move on and talk about whether or not this economic stimulus package has restored your buying and spending confidence. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey folks, this is Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury and I'm in the studio with...
Jeff Sandu.
Audrey Raj.
And of course, our producer is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
12:18 here, the question that we're asking is whether or not the economic stimulus package is restoring your buying or your spending confidence. Why or why not? After Interim Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad unveiled the economic stimulus plan, which was supposed to be announced by the previous PH government, but was delayed, of course. He unveiled a slew of measures, including cash aid and incentives to help the country cushion economic uncertainties due to the threat of the COVID-19 virus that has infected more than 82,000 people worldwide and claimed more than 2,800 lives. We're going to get some feedback from you guys. I know there's quite a bit on Twitter and on WhatsApp. Let's go to Twitter first.
All right. So this is from Oliver, who says, you know, it was just a meaningless gesture, really. People don't simply spend nowadays, especially when we already have the necessary and the necessities. Spending on a new iPhone is not one of them. It's a rough sea ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Ivan says, you know, income remains the same and not unless selling prices go down, people should be saving instead of spending. And we also have one here from My Sire who says, an upset with the current political event, country lacks stability and the potential of BN squanderers wrestling over the government is a sickening feel. Would rather starve the economy than give them hard-earned money.
That just, Ords, can you just quickly look at this morning's poll from The Breakfast Grill? What was that?
Right. I'm going to need some time to pull that up, but maybe we can go to WhatsApp.
Yeah, so we'll go to WhatsApp while we pull up this morning's poll, because on WhatsApp there's a lot of the same kind of echoes going around on Twitter. So one of them, Intan Sabrina Mohammed, who says that no, she is saving up for ASB and EPF, and also she is not going to expose herself to COVID-19 just to stimulate the economy. And then we've got another one who's kind of asking, like, does the interim PM have the authority to announce the economic stimulus package? Mind you, he's just the caretaker PM, but he is announcing something that affects government revenue and spending. Hashtag just asking. That's from Raz. From my understanding, yes, he does still have the power to, you know, announce a package like this to stimulate the economy during a crisis. But, you know, as you would have seen, a lot of this is basically a measurement that is in place and it's effective immediately. In terms of long term, do they carry this out? That will be in the budget later on, and it depends on whichever government we have.
Okay, very quickly before we go to some of the clips, just to pick up from the poll that we saw from the morning run this morning.
Yes.
What is the biggest threat to our economy? And that closed this morning at what time? Around 7 o'clock, something like that. So COVID-19 came in at 15.6%, whereas Malaysian politics came in at 73.2%. You know, so this whole idea about releasing a stimulus package to move because people are worried about COVID-19, public sentiment is not saying that. Public sentiment is like, no, you guys are the ones causing the problem, and it's you guys that need to fix it. It's not COVID-19 that we're worried about just yet.
Mm.
Right.
So yeah, so that's why we've got two experts, industry experts on the line, and to help us sort of like understand how these things can be actually implemented. So Poon, how would actually these be implemented given the political climate at the moment?
There may be some delay, as far as I know, because I think the civil servants will need approvals before they can spend. They need a direction and all that. So mobilization of the spending will take some time. I also believe that MOF needs to allocate the money, so there will be some delay on that. And also for certain departments like the Inland Revenue, usually the laws will need to be put in place before the taxpayers can be certain of the tax measures. Like, for example, if you've got deduction of renovation costs of 300,000 ringgit, the law needs to be put in place so that taxpayers will know that they can actually get tax deduction. So this tends to be a bit delayed, and because of that, taxpayers may be uncertain whether they can actually get this kind of tax relief or not. However, there may be certain amendments to tax policies and those that can be implemented quite quickly. Like, for example, on the deferral of tax installments for 6 months, and also the revision of tax estimates in the third month. All these things can be implemented quickly because these are all internal IRB policies.
Amarjit, let's move on to you. What is your take on the reduction of EPF contribution to 7% in relation to how it would have an immediate impact to spur the economy? Is this the right move?
The objective is really to spur local spending. So 11%, most individuals contribute 11%. So that 4% reduction, especially I think if you look at the general public, you know, those who are maybe starting to just start work the early days, it does give them extra cash to spend. So I guess it's a short-term measure. Those who don't need the extra cash, they still have the election to or the option to remain at the contribution level that they choose. But I think given the importance of saving for the long term, you know, this should not be extended for the long period. We should come back to the 11%.
And while there's been a lot of reduction and exemption on taxes for the tourism and aviation sector to help lower their OPEX, how much does this actually help in balancing the books in the short term?
Some of it, to me, is pretty significant. So, for example, if you look at the revision of estimates, right? So, it talks about the third month of installment. So, if you're a company that with a December year end, your third installment starts in April, you can actually today bring your estimate of tax payable right down to the amount that you paid in February and March, which means you don't need to pay any more installments all the way till September, when you actually have the right to revise it upwards again. So it does you know, give you a little bit of at least a 6 months relief from a cash flow management point of view.
And it also focused on the rural entrepreneurs in going digital. What's your take on this?
I think you're referring to the you know, helping local entrepreneurs to promote sale of products on e-platforms and the PADAS program. It's not really an immediate measure to manage COVID-19, but nevertheless, I think it's a good move. It helps rural entrepreneurs access markets easily for their products, for their produce, and it will have a multiplier effect on businesses such as logistics. And I think if you look at this, together with the National Fiberization and Connectivity Plan, which was announced actually last budget and reiterated during the speech yesterday, I think it's a good long-term measure to improve livelihood of our rural entrepreneurs.
And then there's subsidies on the short-term digital courses and the likes that was mentioned as well. How does this help with the challenges SMEs are facing with COVID-19?
There are a couple of strategies in there, right? So one is, of course, the immediate impact arising from COVID-19. So you do see the measures on elevating cash flow issues and increasing short-term demand through local spending. But these kind of measures, I think, are maybe meant more for mid to long-term economic growth. But good, nevertheless, I would say.
Poon, let's go back to you. What do you think was missing from the announcement that would have greatly benefited the SMEs?
Not a direct benefit to the SMEs. I'm just thinking that what is missing from this announcement is that I think what we need is a bit of a boost. So the boost is not so direct. It is, like I mentioned, you know, it's more like little pills here and there instead of a direct injection into the market to stimulate more demand in the market. I think it would have given the market a bit more stimulus and excitement. It may be a bit more money is actually put in the hands of the general public. This month we don't see, except for, like we mentioned, money given to maybe the BSH, as well as the one-off payments to taxi drivers, bus drivers, tour guides and all that. I think another thing that perhaps the government should have done will be to have a bit of reduction of tax. Because at the moment, there's really no tax relief at all for individuals and companies. Unless these individuals and companies spend money, then only they'll be eligible. So in a way, there's no direct tax handouts, you know, to taxpayers.
And how would this build confidence in the market and help spur the economy, be it, you know, whether it's the locals or tourists?
For me, I think the effect will likely be muted, not going to be big. Although, I mean, it's still better than nothing. It will still be some relief for the overall market. So I think that perhaps we need time for all these measures to be implemented and to flow into the market, spending by the government, by the GLCs, and the reduction of all the various costs to the tourism sector. Hopefully all of these, you know, can produce a multiplier effects in the days to come.
Amarjit, was there actually any announcement that feels a little bit far from having any immediate impact, especially a positive impact for businesses? Things like the renovation and refurbishment tax deduction for businesses.
I mean, this is not going to give us like an immediate cash flow elevation. Really more mid to long-term measure. But I guess the thinking is, you know, perhaps the businesses, given the slowdown, take the opportunity to make decisions to focus on internal improvements so that eventually, you know, we do expect COVID-19 to go away and businesses, sort of the economy to pick up. So businesses are, you know, getting ready and take advantage when there is an uptick.
Are you confident that this is good enough to help spur the economy and regain buyer confidence to spend, be it the locals or tourists?
I guess we are human beings, so nothing will ever be enough. But I do think it's a reasonable effort to manage the economy given the challenges of COVID-19. More importantly for me, I think the manner in which the stimulus package was drawn up, it's not overly relying on government funding. So if you look at it, a significant part is actually contribution from the private sector. So Tenaga was named, Malaysia Airports was named, banks were named, EPF, lesser contributions going into EPF potentially. Hence, the overall budget deficit increase was by 0.2%. And when you look at the 2009 stimulus package, the budget deficit increase was actually 2.8%. So I think still a responsible effort, on one side to manage the immediate issues that's facing, but at the same time, I think responsible not to overly strain our fiscal position.
You just heard Amarjit Singh from the tax leader of EY, ASEAN and Malaysia. And earlier also you heard Poon Yu Ho, the managing partner of Crowe Malaysia. Thanks for their analysis.
We're going to take a short break, folks, with some music up first from Sly and the Family Stone with Ride the Rhythm. When we come back, we're going to have an update from the KLCI, of course, at break. But we are asking you this question. Does the economic stimulus package restore your buying and your spending confidence? Why or why not? Some feedback when we get back on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.